We're on Daf Tzadi Zayin. Tzadi Zayin Amin Aleph. We finished the Mishnah. Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Vovim Beis had quoted the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon that if he cooked in a kli, cooked kachim in a kli, then if he started at the beginning of the regel, he doesn't need merikah shtichva immediately. He could continue cooking in that kli for the entire balance of the regel, and at the end of the holiday, then he does mariku shtifa of the kli. Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara asks, "My taima, de Rabbi Tarfon, why does Rabbi Tarfon hold that it's enough to wait till the end of the yontif? That seems to be a pretty strange kind of shita." And l'chora, during the rest of the year, when there's a chiv doraisa of mriku shtifa in the kelim, and not only that, the b'liya becomes nosar, then certainly you should require mriku shtifa immediately. So why should it be different on yontif? And the Gemara answers, the Omar Kra, because it's based on a pasuk in the dinim of Hakrovas Korban Pesach in Parshas Rei, it says Ubishalto v'achalto v'amokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo ufaniso v'boker v'olachto li'olecha, meaning that after you eat the Korban Pesach, you should leave over, you should remain in Yerushalayim until the next morning and then go home. So it's impossible to say that the intention of this pasuk is that you should go home in the morning after Achilas HaPesach. That's Yontif. He's not allowed to travel on Yontif. It would be Chutz L'Tchum. Ella, so what then is the Torah talking about when it says the next morning you leave the Ohel after the Korban Pesach? We have no choice but to assume Hakosav Ason Lekulam, the Torah sets up all the days of the regel, Kiboker Echot, as if the regel itself is considered one long day. And the Torah means Ufanisa Baboker, means the Boker after the regel. And just like the Torah is saying, we're formulating the halacha here with regard to Lina, that you should remain overnight means you should remain for the entire regel. So the entire body, the unit of the Yemei regel, considered like one day. So too, as far as Mriku Shtifa, the entire regel is considered like one day. And therefore, he's allowed to use the kli in which he cooked the kodshim from the beginning of the regel, during the entire balance of the regel, until the end of the regel, and then he does Mriku Ushtifa. Now keep in mind, we've already discussed in the Mishnah back on Tzadi Gimel and Beis that there's a requirement of Shviras Kli Shores. When you use the Kli Shores, an earthenware Kli, to cook Kodshim, that's the mitzvah of Shvira. With regard to other Kalim that we use for cooking Kodshim that are not made of Cheres, then there's no requirement of Shvira, but rather there's a requirement of Mriku Shtifa. Now all this has to do with Nosar. And in Vayikra Zayin, the Torah tells us that even Tam Balua B'toch HaKli, even the absorbed flavor, it will become Nosar. So the breaking of a Kli Cheres, or the Mriku Shtifa of a kli mateches, will be a requirement even one if one decided never to use these kelim again, because as far as nosar is concerned, the nosar requires, it generates a chiyuv of sreifa, of destroying the nosar. There's also a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam that has to be emphasized. At what point does this requirement of Mariku Shtifa take place? When does it emerge? Rashi Shita is that after it becomes Nosar. The Rambam Shita is that before it becomes Nosar. And again, all this has to do with the Tam Balua in the Kli, and those dinim apply the whole year round. Comes along Rabbi Tarfon, and our Mishnah says the exception to the rule, the din Mesuyam, is Yontif, because we view all the days of Yontif as one entity. And one would wonder, what are we going to do with Nosar? And that's perhaps the Gemara's kasha now on Rabbi Tarfon. Because the Torah says in Vayikra Yutes, V'chich sizbechu zevach shlomim l'ashem, l'rtzonchem tizbechuhu. B'yom zivchachem ye'ochel u'mimochras, v'anosar ad yom hashlishi ba'eshi sorifim, he'ochel yochem yom hashlishi pigulhu lo yirotze. So we have to eat the bus of shlomim 2 days and one night. Anything that's left over to the third day has to be burnt. And if during one of the avodos, so the karbon, he would think about eating it after that zman, that's called pigul. So the Gemara now asks, maskif le rav achdevoy bar ami v'chi, should we derive from the laws of lina she'ein din pigul beregel ve'ein din nosa beregel? Notice, if you're going to tell me that all of the regels considered one day, as far as Lina is concerned, then should we say that there's no pigul, there's no nosar, if he leaves the karban beyond this allotted period of time of 2 days and one night? And if you'll tell me that maybe that is so, and we suspend the din of nosar and pigul for the entire regal, according to Rabbi Tarfon, because all of regal is considered one day, vasanya, this is an untenable position, because we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Nosson Omer Lo Omer, Rabbi Tarfon's statement that all the days of the regular considered Yom Echad Ela Bizu, only as far as the din of Mariku Shtifa is concerned. Bilvat, that's a special din. But with regard to Pigul and Nosar, even Rabbi Tarfon admits that every day is a separate day of Yontif. So going back to Akasha, why is it that as far as Nosar and Pigul, Rabbi Tarfon doesn't say that we should consider all the days of the regals Yom Echad, just like we said it with regard to Mariku Shtifa? So the Gemara now clarifies the logic of Rabbi Tarfon in a different way. Ella, but rather reasoning of Rabbi Tarfon that Mariku Shtifa can be postponed until the end of the regal is ki Rabbi Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua, the Omer Rabbi Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua kol Yom V'Yom Nasa Giyu L'Chavero, meaning that there are many shlomim that are brought during the course of the regal, and the tam bolua in the kli does not become nosar, because on each day, presumably, he cooks a new cooking in the kli, and that bishul becomes a hag'ola to remove the tam that's bolua from yesterday. And those blios never become nosar. Before the blios get a chance to become nosar, there was already a plato in which the tam of the balua that was penetrated into the walls of the kli now goes out of the kli, and you'll never find in the walls of the kli a bli of nosar. So the Gemara rejects the original understanding, the presentation of the pasuk, that all the days are considered one day. Because if that would be true, if let's say he did a shechita of a chatos on the second day of Yontif, and he had the intention to eat it on the third day, then we would say the carbon is not pigul, because he's eating it on the same day, al-pidin, the day of Mitzchita, according to Rabbi Tarfon. And if one, for example, brought a carbon chatos on the second day of Pesach, the basar would not become nosar on the third day, because we view the entire yontif as one day. But we prove from the Braisa, Elazu Bilvan, that Rabbi Tarfon agrees that with regard to Dine Pigul and Nosar, every day of the Yontif is considered an independent day unto itself. So therefore it cannot be that Rabbi Tarfon is based on the fact that the Torah sees the entire Yontif as one day. And basically the Gemara is holding now in this rejection of the original pshat that there's no proof from the pasuk that we quoted that the Torah is referring to the law of Mariku Shtifa rather than any other law. So if the pasuk is telling me that there are all the days Yontif are collapsed into one day, then it should have a repercussion, an impact on Pigul and Nosa. Let's be consistent. The Pasuk is not telling me it's a din in Mariku Shtifa. So the Gemara now, in the name of Rav Nachman, offers an alternative understanding of Rabbi Tarfon. And that is that since many shlomim brought during the Yontif, so the kelim in which the bishul took place are in constant use. So for example, if he was makriv a karbon on the first day of Yontif, and he cooked on that day in the kelim, now there's a blia of tam shlomim, basa shlomim into the kedera. It doesn't become nosar until after shkia of the second day, because shlomim is eaten for 2 days. But before the tam of the shlomim that he cooked on the first day becomes nosar on the following night, the night of day two, the shlomim will have been brought on day two. Another carbon shlomim would have been brought, and they cooked the bas on the same pot, and that's going to be a hagola to remove the tam. And this goes on night after night for the entire yontif. So you always have a constant hagola, constant hechsher of the tam shlomim from one day to the other, and therefore there's no need for mariku shtifa during the course of yontif. Now, even though you could argue that some of the tam of the shlomim that was brought on the first day that was removed through the process of quote-unquote Hagolah when he brought Shlomim on the second day, goes back into the Kedera, right? Because even though there's a plita into the Tavshil, but he continues cooking with it. Let's say he mixes the Shlomim from yesterday, which the Tam Kikar came into the Shlomim of today, and in that Taruvas, the Dofne Akli will reabsorb the tam of shlomim. So l'chora, what we're going to have to say is that there's bittul going on over here, that the tam of the shlomim of yesterday's karbon will be bottled in the tam of today's karbon. And the reason for that is because there's more than shishim in today's karbon keneged the bliya of yesterday's karbon. So that which is reabsorbed from the shlomim of the first day, on at least on a deraisa level, is considered batel. It's non-existent, and it will never become nosar. You could also add that even if, let's say, the tam balua that's niflat now goes back into the kli of the first day of yontif, and it's not batel, but nevertheless, it's tam lifgam, because it was absorbed into the tam yesterday, and now it's pogum on the second day. This is all to take care of the derises. You could also add another svar that it's no sing tam bar no sing tam, because when the bliya took place yesterday, it was tam heter, and tam heter, balua doesn't become tam isur when again you cook it in heter the second day. It's like you're cooking milchiks. And I'm sorry, you're cooking, let's say, parva in a milchka pot, and then the next day, again, you want to cook parva and cook that in a fleshika pot. That's called not bar not. Rashi has another point here that according to Rabbi Tarfon, based on a sugya of Avodah Zorah daf ayin vav, mariku shtifa is not necessary during the yontif. Even if he cooks a chatas, which becomes nosa the very next morning, because inevitably he's going to follow up the cooking of the chatas with the carbon shlomim, and that's going to be hagola for the tam chatas of yesterday. Again, as we emphasized time and time again, Rabbi Tarfon is moda that during the rest of the year you need mariku shtifa on a daily basis, accepting the principle of chazal that we'll see. When I say Chazal of the Rabbanon, we'll see in just a minute. Now, halacha lemaisa, according to Rabbi Tarfon, in the new interpretation, I don't know what would be if you had a metzias where he didn't, and he had no intention of cooking on day two. then you'd have a problem from the Blias Noser day one. The Gemara now will suggest an interpretation for the Chacham. The Chachamim say Adzman Achila, that you have to do the Mriku Shtifa. Let's see exactly what it means. My Ka'amah, the Gemara says, what does it mean? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, Mamtin La, some have the gear Sa'ad, Achar Zman Achila, Vehodar Ovidle, Mariku Shtifa. So the Chacham will allow you until the time of Achila, the Heter Achila, has passed, and at that moment, he's going to have to do Mariku Shtifa. This is a slightly different girsa in the Shita. He says, Mamtin la kol zman achila. So the din of Riku Shtifa was formulated, that requirement, after the zman achila is passed, and it became nosar. And as we mentioned earlier, that seems to reflect the Shita of Rashi. Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Mamtin, which you'll see on the bottom of the Amud, he writes that we should not interpret that Riku Shtifa should take place before it became Nosar, because that's called Havas Kodshim Lebeis HaPsul, because now the Bolua is still Kodshim, and it's Ksherim, it hasn't yet become Nosar. And now you're going to generate an Isur Nosar by leaving it over past its allotted time period. And therefore, we're going to have to wait until it actually became Nosar, and then we do the Mariku Shtifa. And that, as we said, it reflects the Shita of Rashi. Now, Tosas quotes a Gemara in order to prove that the Chiyuv Mariku Shtifa does not emerge until after it became Nosar, from a Gemara that says that on every day, as we said before, becomes Gil Chaver. There's a Hagola when he cooks in the Kli from day to day. Now, if you're going to tell me that this goes on before it became Nosar, meaning that there's already a Chiyuv Mariku Shtifa at that point, how are we allowed to be Mavashal and be Mafkia the Chiyuv Mariku Shtifa by taking the Blia out of the walls of the Kli? El HaKorcha says, Tosis, you must assume that the process of Mariku Shtifa is going to take place after it became. And he writes that the din of Mariku Shtifa is included in the Heksha of the Kli. I just want to add that originally when the Gemara had its first Pshat in Rabbi Tarfon, Ufanisa Baboka Valachta Olecha, Tosis points out that you're not allowed to return home from Yerushalayim, that's called Lina, until the last day of Pesach. And that's the intention of the Pasuk, that after the last day of Pesach, then you return home. We see that the entire Yontif is one day. Interesting is that, just my own svara, I thought logically you could differentiate perhaps between Pesach and Sukkot. Like, for example, the Gemara establishes in Erechim that on Pesach, all you need is Hallel on the first day. And apparently the Hallel on the first day now covers you for the entire Pesach. In Sukkot, you need Hallel on every single day. The Gemara calls it Chalukim leKorbanoseyam, is a different Korban Musaf every day of Sukkot, and that sets up a new day, a new Kiddush Sayom, on every day of Sukkot. In any event, the Gemara now is going to analyze Minani Mili. How do we know this din? The Achronim point out that the question here of Minani Mili is a general question that refers to the din of Mariku Shtifa, which takes place at the Sof Zman Achila. And basically both Rabbi Tarfon and the Chacham agree in principle that there is a mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa. He says, Svaras Rabbi Tafani Shabchol Yom Vyom Nasa Giyu L'Chaveru Madu Nechlekol of Chachomin. And he suggests here, in the name of the Keret Orah, that perhaps another pshat is the Gemara is asking Binah Lamili, why would the Chachomin reject the principle that underlies Rabbi Tafani Shita, that every day is a Hagola for the day before? And the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk to derive from it that after the Zman Achilas HaBishal HaRishon, he has to do Mariku Shtifa in any event, even though you can apply the principle, and the Chacham also adopt the principle Chol Yom V'Yom Gil Chaviro. And the Keren Ora presents the thesis that the machlokas here between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon is not lav dafka beregel, but rather whether the second bishul is considered hagola for the first bishul, in which case the Chacham are going to derive from the pasuk, as we'll soon see, that the second bishul is not a hagola for the first bishul, and therefore there's a chiyuv of mariku shtifa. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rav Abba Yosi ben Abba ksiv in Vayikra Vav, it says umorak v'shutav b'mayim uksiv, and there's another pasuk right there that says kol zochar b'konim yochal osa. So how do we understand the smichus here between these two psukim? The first pasuk indicates Mariku Shtifa B'mayim, and the second indicates that he's eating it. Well, what does that mean? El Lomar, but rather to teach us, Mamtin Lo Ad Zman Achila. The second pasuk calls Zachar B'Bakonim Yochal, is telling you Zman Achila. And it means that you're allowed to delay the Mariku Shtifa until Sof Zman Achila V'Hodar, and after the Zman Achila terminates, then you do the Marika Ushtifa. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Marika Ushtifa is similar to a Koshal Bracha. Marika ki Marikas Hakos, Shtifa ki Shtifas Hakos. And the Gemara now quotes a Machlokes about how to do Marika Ushtifa. Tanur Rabbanan, Mariku Shtifa Bitsonim Divri Rebbe. So this whole process of Mariku Shtifa, according to Rebbe, takes place in Sonein, cold water. V'chachomelmim Mariku B'chamen Ushtifa Bitsonim. And the Gemara clarifies what seems to be the more intuitive sheet of my time at the Rabbanon. Why do you need hot water for the Mariku? And the answer is, Midi Dehavya Gi'ule Ov Dekochavim. Just like we find in Blias Isur in Macholas Asurus, let's say a guy owned the kli and he cooked tarfus in the kli. Bolach Shir, if he now wants to be machshir the kli, he needs hagol b'mayim chamim, in hot water, not in cold water. That's not going to remove the bliyav that's penetrated into the walls of the kli. So too, in the case of kodshim, you have to subject the kli to a process of hachshara to get the bliyav of Nosar out of the walls of the Kli. You have to use Mayim Chamim, hot water. And the truth is that we really don't understand the Shita here of Rebbe, how Mayim Tzonanim would help us. Now this week's Parsha is Parshas Matos, and we have the Melchama against Midjan, and we took the Kli Midjan as Sholol. Then the Torah says, "Kol shabah ba'esh tisarev." Kol shabah ba'mayim. The Torah sets up the laws of hechsher kelim, whether it's libun, whether it's hagola. So the question is, where does Rebbe disagree? Unless Rebbe is assuming that Enochinami, if you want to get the bli of Nosar out, that has nothing to do with the din of Mariku Shtifa. That's a general halacha that applies to all Macholos Asus. Nosar is no difference. But I mean, we're talking about Mariku Shtifa, which requires Azara, for example. So in other words, the Hagol itself. Here's the question that I want to raise as we enter into the discussion about Rebbe Shita. Is the Hagola going to take place in the Azara? Or maybe the Hagola, insofar as it's a universal halacha of Macholos Asus, could take place outside the Azara. The Mariku Shtifa Mayim Tzonanim, that's more of a ritual of a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, that's going to take place in the Azara. So the Gemara says, "V'Rebbe Amalcha Hagol Lo Ka Imna." As far as Hagol is concerned, I never meant to say that you could do away with the requirement of hot water. For sure, for Hagol, you need hot water, and that's the parasha of Gilui Nachrin. Ki Ka Imna. When I said Sonen, that's only Mariku Shtifa the Basar Hagola. So we're talking about Mariku Shtifa on both the inside and the outside of the kli. After Hagolah was already done, and those two actions, those two parts of the process are done b'tzonen. So the Gemara says, Rabbanon, why don't they accept Rebbe that let's do Mariku Shtifa b'tzonen following the Hagolah? Im Kain, he says, if that be the case, if Mariku Shtifa is in tzonen, is Lichtov Kra, the Torah should have said, oh, Morak, Morek, Shutaf Shutev. In other words, if you're not distinguishing at all between Marik and Shtifa, then why does the Torah say Umorak Vishutaf Bamayim with a Lashon Shinui, as if to say that these are two different processes and they shouldn't be compared? If it's only Bitsonen, then the Marika's Bitsonen and the Shtifa's Bitsonen. So what's umorak vishutaf? As if to say two different processes. Shma mino, therefore we have to assume that there's a fundamental difference between Marika and Shtifa. Marika is going to be bechamin and Shtifa bitzonen. So more clarifies for Rebbe, what does Rebbe hold? Why does the Torah say umorak vishutaf? As if they're two different processes, or we call a shinui lashon. According to him, they're both done in Sonen. So the Gemara answers, Iksiv, the Torah would have said, Umarak Morek, Havamina, I would have thought. That what does the Torah have in mind? Litre Zimni Morak. Maybe it means that you have to do a Marika twice. Marika is inside the Kli, Otre Zimni Shutaf, on the outside of the Kli, Lekach Ksiv, Umarek Vishutaf, with a Shinu Lashon, to tell you, Loma Lecha Marika, Ke Marika Sakos, which means it's bifnim, ushtifa kishtifa sakos, which is bachutz. I just want to mention that the Chazon Ish apparently understood that even Rebbe agrees that the Hagolah b'chamin has to take place inside the Azara. I'm not exactly sure what led the Chazon Ish to that conclusion. I would have suggested logically that according to Rebbe, the Hagolah could take place anywhere in the world. Now the Mishnah, the new Mishnah here on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, addresses the case of what we call Bishul Sheni. What I mean Sheni, not second, but we're talking about two. And we're talking about a problem in which you have on the one end, you know, one and two. One is called Kodshim, the other is called Chulin. And both were cooked in the kli. So the Mishnah says, Bishal bo kodshim v'chulin. So he's got kodshim v'chulin cooking together in the same pot, in the same kedera. Oh, another possibility is kodshim v'kodshim kalim, which have different dinim, and they were cooked in the same padim yeshbem, but no same tam. So we have to look at what we call the basar achamur. For example, kodshi kodshim, or kodshim keneged chulin. If that basar achamur would be b'no same tam, and there's a significant enough volume of that basar to give tam in the kal with a kuf, that was cooked within it, is harei akalim necholim kichamurim. Since there's a greater amount, at least in terms of nesinas tam, of the basar chamur, now the basar kal takes on the identity, so to speak, al pidin of the basar chamur, and has to be eaten in the same way that the basar chamur is. So for example, the achilas kodshi kalim, which usually takes place anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, now has to take place within the Azara. Not only that, the kodshim, let's say shlom, could only be eaten for one day, one night, because of the nesinas tam of the kodshim. In the case of chulin, the chulin also would have to be eaten within the same limitations, both in terms of location and time, as the kadshin. However, the Mishnah goes on to say that einam teunim mariku shtifa, that the kli in which they cooked both kadshi kadshim and kadshim kalim does not need mariku shtifa, v'einam poslim b'maga, and if the kadshi kadshim are psulim, then the kadshi kalim do not become posel by virtue of their contact with the kadshi kadshim to posel them because of this negir. And the Gemara is going to have to explain this part of the Mishnah. Now, all this has to do with what we call a taroves of min bimino. Again, the basic principle that underlies the Mishnah we understand very well. When we're dealing with, let's say, min b'sheino mino, that two substances that have two different tamim, then either we give it to a kfeil, we give it to someone to taste to see if the tam of the isur, in this case the tam of the chomer, is murgash. And if that's not feasible, then we use shishim, a ratio of 1 to 60. That's as far as min b'sheino is concerned. Do we use the same bitul b'shishim in the case of min b'mino? So that's going to be a gigantic issue in the laws of Tarovis. On the one hand, we understand very well that the kal, if it was boleh, the tam of the chamur, then the kal takes on all the dinim and the chumris of the chamur. So, for example, in the first case of the Mishnah, we had a taroves of kadshim and chulin. The chulin now has to be eaten within the same strictures as the kadshim. Has to be eaten bitara for a certain period of time, in a certain place, etc., etc. In the second case of the Mishnah, kadshim kadshim and kadshim kalim, then the kadshim kalim, as we said before, have to be eaten within the azara by zichrei kuna, and only for the day and the night that follows. Now, we're talking about min bimino. On a deraisa level, all you need is rov. But min rabbanon, you require shishim, even in the case of min bimino. Now, according to Rashi and other Rishonim, even if you have a case of what's called min b'she'eno mino, and the heter was nivla, was bole, I should say, the tam of the other substance, call it of the isur, or you can call it of the chamur, then on a deraisa level, even min b'she'eno mino is bato barov. All you need is a majority. And the entire din of nesinas tam is only drabana. So, for example, when our Mishnah imposes all these chumras on the kal, that's all derabbanan. Because on a deraisa level, the kal, even if there wasn't a sinas tam from the chomur, it retains its identity based on rov. But let's take the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim hold that tam kikar is deraisa. And on a deraisa level, there's no bittul if there's an sinas tam. Is it still possible to learn this Mishnah on a derabbanan level and talk about a chumra derabbanan and isa derabbanan? And the answer is, that's very possibly, because if we talk about min bimino, then for sure on a deraisa level it's batal barov. Again, if it's min b'she'eno mino, would there be bitul barov deraisa? That's the subject of this machlok shin Rashi and other Rishonim, whether bitul deraisa could apply in min she'eno mina because of the problem in the sinas tam. But here in our Mishnah, presumably we're talking about min bimino, and kuliyamalo pliya min bimino is bato barov, and the entire Mishnah is built on a drabbana. So let's talk about the next part of the Mishnah, and maybe that would have some impact on our discussion, whether we're talking about min bimino or min b'she'eno mino. If we're talking about two different types of meat, there's going to be an entire discussion let's say you add basa para and basa tle and so forth that were cooked together in the same pot, the different kinds of meat, do we consider that min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino? That's a discussion in Yoredeya. In any event, the Mishnah presents the law that although kachi kalim that were cooked with kachi kachim cannot be eaten beyond the time of kachi kachim, nevertheless, as far as Mariku Shtifa is concerned, that doesn't have to be implemented until the time that the kachi kachim expires. And the reason for that is because since... Let me stop here. Actually, there's no... Right now, we don't understand the reason for this, because again, if you're giving the dinim of the chamur, then Mariku Shtifa, since it's a sinas tamid to the kachi kalim from the kachi kachim, it should have the same chumra of Mariku Shtifa. Okay, so we have to find the answer to that in the sugya. Now, we go on. Just one second. Is there any other point? Yeah. Oh, we spoke about Enam poslim b'maga, which means that if, let's say, you had meat that became posel achila, and it absorbed the tam of psule amukdashim, then why doesn't that tam pass on to the other meat, which is cooked together in the same pot? And we have this principle of Enam poslim b'maga. So that also has to be understood. Now, in the parasha of Chatos, of Korban Chatos, of Ayikra Vav, it says, Kol asher yiga b'psori yikdash. That means that anything that is edible and touches a b'sar chatos, comes in contact with b'sar chatos, Kol asher yiga b'psori yikdash. It has the same din of chatos. Now, let's say the chatos became psula, then it should passel anything that came in contact with it. If, on the other hand, the chatos is kshera, then the din of anything that came in contact with it would be that it has to be eaten within the allotted time, the limited, restricted time of a chatos, and also in the place where the chatos is eaten. The Mishnah is now clarifying the situation in which lo nitnu kodshe kodshim tam bekodshim kala. That although there was a maga between the kachim kachim and the kachim kalim, there was no nesinas tam. So the kal, or let's call it the kachim kalim in this case, does not become possible b'maga from that basar. And the Gemara is going to clarify, since the kal is only eaten like the chumra of the chomer of the kachim kachim, so why shouldn't this din of maga apply, as the Torah says, Kol asher yiga b'psori yikdash? And we're going to have to assume that the case in our Mishnah is that the chomer gave tam into the kal, because otherwise, why does the Mishnah establish that einam necholam el kechamurim? So why doesn't it pasal b'maga? And why doesn't it need Mariku Shtifa? So that's the difficult part of the Mishnah. We need the sugya for that. The last part of the Mishnah clarifies the din of basar or rokik that came in contact with basar or rokik. How much of the basar becomes asur as a result of this negia? And it says rokik. Again, we're talking about one of the categories of the lechamim that are brought to accompany the Korban Todah in Vayikra Zion. And it became posel. And shenoga b'rokik. And it came in contact with a rokik that's kosher. And the kosher now is bolea from the posel. Another case in the Mishnah is v'chaticha. One chaticha of basar of psula came in contact with the chaticha kshera, and it was bolea the tam of the psula. So what's the din in this case? Lo kol arokik v'lo kol achaticha asurin ela eino osur el b'mokom shebola. Now the Mishnah is saying that the Isur here will only be relevant, will be chal at the point of contact, but not, it doesn't permeate throughout the entire basar kosher. So there is a bliya b'makom shebola, which means that we're talking about something that's hot and not something that's cold, because two cold chatichas that come in contact, there's no nesinas tam. However, if you have two hot substances, even though they're dry and they come and they touch each other, so there's going to be a nesinas tam, but that's only what we call kidei netilas etzva, the depth of a finger breadth. In the case of a damar shamein, something that's very fatty, then there's more of a bliya. So therefore, in our Mishnah, in the case of a rokik that was posel, and it came in contact two hot subs with another rokik that's kosher, then the only amount of the rokik kosher that has to be removed is a finger's breadth work. Kedei netilas etzba, the point of maga, of contact. That's where there's a bliya from the posel, from the rokik posel, or from the chatichas basar posel. So now the Gemara asks, Maika Omar. What did the Mishnah mean when it said that there's basar chamur that gives tam and basar kal, and if the kal has to be eaten within the restrictions of the chamur? And then the Mishnah says, but as far as Mariku Shtifa is concerned, that, or as far as Psul Maga is concerned, we don't apply the same rule that the Kal takes on the identity of the Chomor. And the Gemara says the following. Here's how we have to learn the Mishnah. This is what we call Chisurei Mechsurei, as if part of the Mishnah was missing. Yesh, im yesh bahem, if there's enough in the basar chamur in this tavshil, but no same time to give tam in the basar kal, harei akalim necholim kichamurim, and then we impose the restrictions of the chamur onto the kal, because the chamur gave tam into the kal. So you have to eat it in the azara, one day, kohenim, etc. I mean, the males of kohenim. Utuunim mariku shtif, then enochinami, the Mishnah would say in such a case, that at the end of the Zman Achilas Basar Chomer, you have to do Marika Shtifa and Poslim B'Magam. If the Chomer was Poslim and it gave Tam into the Kal, then the Kal becomes like the Chomer and the Basar becomes Poslim through this contact, if there wasn't seen as Tam. If Ein Bahem B'No Sein Tam, if there's not enough in the meat that's Asur to give Tam into the meat that's Heter, then Ein Akalim Necholim Kechamur Veinem Tunim Marika Shtifa and Poslim B'Magam. Then the kal does not become restricted by the restrictions of the chomer. It doesn't even reach a shtifa like the chomer. It doesn't become possible b'maga with contact. So the Gemara now tries to clarify in what scenario, in what case do we say that there was not enough for the chomer to give tam in the kal, and is it so that you don't need Mariku Shtifa in this Kli, meaning in the Kal, based on the time allotment of the Chomur? So Gemara says, if you're telling me that there was no volume of Basar of Kachim Kachim to give Tam in the Basar Kachim Kalim, and therefore it doesn't need Mariku Shtifa, and he the Kachim Kalim Lobo. Okay, so you don't need Mariku Shtifa as far as the Kachim is concerned, because in this case, if there was no Nesinas Tam in the Kal, then obviously there's no Tam of Kachim Kachim, because the Tam of Kachim Kachim is Bata. However, Kachim Kalim Niboi, in other words, how can you tell me that the kli doesn't need mariku shtifa? It should certainly need the mariku shtifa of kachim kalim. And the Gemara seems to be assuming now that kachim kalim needs mariku shtifa. And that zman, that moment of time in which the obligation of mariku shtifa emerges, is the moment in which the basar would become nosar, the blia, the tam balu would become mosar. When the Tana says it doesn't require Mariku Shtifa, it doesn't mean that it doesn't need Mariku Shtifa. Don't take that literally, but rather it doesn't need Mariku Shtifa Lachas Manachilus Kachin Kachim, which would be Yom Valaila Ba'aval, but for sure it goes without saying that after the Zmanachil of Kachim Kalim, meaning given another day, at that point to Unim Mariku Shtifa. Rava Amar Hamani Rabbi Shimon Hi, our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Shimon, the Omer Kachi Kalim Einim Tuna Mariku Shtifa. So we had a machlokes above, Mandaf Tzadihei Amid Beis, between the Chachom and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not the mitzvah, the parasha of Mariku Shtifa, applies to Kachim Kalim or only to Kachi Kachim. Our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara asks the following question, Bishleim Elo Rava. Our Mishnah is understood according to Rava's answer, Hainu Diktani. That's why the Tana says in two different, the Tana addresses two different circumstances. It says Bishavo Kachim V'chulin, and it says Kachim Kachim V'Kachim Kalim. And the reason why the Mishnah added Kachim 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 V'Kachim Kalim is to express the halacha of Rabbi Shimon that in Kachim Kalim there's no requirement of Mariku Shtifa. Elo Labaye, according to Abaye, holds that even Kachim Kalim require, because we're going like the Chachomim, Mariku Shtifa is Tati Lomeli. Why did the Mishnah have to say both? The case of a mixture of a cooking together of Kachim and Chulin and a cooking together of Kachim, 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 Kalim. In other words, once we know the principle, we can apply the principle in all cases. The principle is that the Chomor, if it gives Tam into the Kal is restricted by the Chomor. If on the other hand, the Chomer doesn't give Tam into the Kal, then it's Batal in the Kal. And for that, we can know the second case of Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kal, Tzrichi. The mission needs both the Itana, Kachim, and Chulin. Is Hava, I mean, I would have thought Chulin, who demavatli Kachim, that only the Tavshil of Chulin with Kachim, there's Bittal, and the Kachim would not give Tam into the Chulin. And therefore, if the kachim doesn't give tam into the chulin, the kachim become bottle in the chulin. Why? Because lav minayu, this is not considered the same min, because kodesh, kachim is kodesh, and chulin is chulin. And therefore we treat it like min b'she'eno mino, and in min b'she'eno mino, one min is mevatel the other. Avol, but I would have thought that if he cooks together kachim, kachim and kachim kalim together, which are considered one min, because they're all kachim, emo lo, I would assume that there's no, in the havmin, I would assume there's no din of bittel, in which the kachim kachim could be bought on the kachim kalim, if the rove is kachim kalim. And the chomer would not, if it was less of a significant volume than the kal, it would not give tam into the kal. And the din would be the din of kachim kalim, even though there's no nesinas tam, because it would be considered min bimino. And this really reflects, to some extent, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, all of the shas, that min bimino lo batel. That's in order to establish bittul, you need min b'sheino mino. And again, here the min b'sheino mino is not determined by flavor, but determined by the status in halacha. It's basa shma, as we call it. For Itana, Niftatana had said only the case of Kachim Kachim with Kachim Kalim, the second case, meaning that if there's not enough in the Kachim Kachim to give Tam to Kachim Kalim, then it doesn't need Mariku Shtifa Vamina. That's only in the case of Kachim, Dalime Levitule Kachim, that if it was Mavashal Kachim, with a different kind of Kachim, then there's a Koach in the Kachim Kalim to be Mavatali, the status and the din of Kachim Kachim, and that's called Kachim Mavatli Kachim Aval. But in the case of Chulin, if you cook together Chulin and Kachim, Emolo, I would think that there's no Koach in the Chulin to be Mavatel, the status of the Kachim. even if there's no nesinas tam, and therefore the din of chulin would take on the din of kodshim that would cook together with it. Sricha, and therefore I need both. So we have to summarize the sugya, we have a simple way of understanding, justifying both scenarios according to Rava, a more complex justification of both scenarios according to Abaye. According to Rava, the kachim kalim, kachim kachim mixture, the second scenario is telling me that we hold like Rav Shimon, that there's no din of rika shtifa, no requirement in the case of kachim kalim. But according to Abaye, we're going to have to say that the laws of Bittul, which are presumed here in the Mishnah, might apply in one mixture, but not in another mixture. You know, if you have a svar to say the dafka in a mixture of chulin and kodshim, that's called min v'sheinu minu, and there there's Bittul, but not in kodshim and kodshim. And we have another svar to say the dafka Bittul works in kodshim and kodshim, but in case of chulin doesn't have the power to be mivatal kodshim. So we need both cases. Now again, it's very interesting that the svara here of when we should apply bittul and when we should assume that it's min b'sheino mino is based, as we said, on the legal status of these two materials, of these two items. And therefore, if you have opposing legal status, you have kodshim and chulin, that becomes subject to bittul of min b'sheino mino. However, in the case where both items have not only the same time but also the same legal status, there's no clash with each other, therefore there's not going to be a possibility of bittul, so that the miut retains its identity, it doesn't become bittul in the rov. And this is all based on a Ran, the famous Ran in Masecht Nedarim on Daf Nun Beis. So if the Mishnah would have given only the example of kodshim and chulin, we would have thought that in this case there's bittul because each has a separate status. But in kodshim and kodshim, since they basically both share the same status of kodshim, they are too similar, so to speak, in status for the possibility of applying bittul. It's min b'mino and there's no bittul. And that's why the Mishnah had to go ahead and spell out the mixture of kodshim in the second scenario. Now the Mishnah said that rokik shenoga berokik, so now we're talking about chaticha bechaticha, and lo kol harokik, that we're not going to transfer the iser from one chaticha to the other, or from one rokik to the other, to the entire rokik, the entire chaticha, but rather only the makom blia. The Gemara now clarifies what's the source for this din. Torah Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa based on a pasuk in Vayikra Vav, the parasha of Karmel Chatos. It says Kol Asher Yiga Bibsar Yikdash Yachal. I would think Afilu Shelo Bola, that this halach of Yikdash applies even without Bliya. In other words, any bosa that comes in contact with Chatos, even if there's no Bliya, it becomes Kadosh and takes on the strictures of a chatas, Talmud Lomar. But the pasuk says, Bibsara. And here we're turning, Talmud Beis, Ad Sheyivla Bibsara. Which means that we need that some of the chatas is balua in the bosa that it touches. So the Brisa is now deriving from this pasuk. Again, let's read the pasuk one more time. Back on Amud Aleph. The pasuk says, Kol Asher Yiga Bibsara Yikdash, and the added word Bibsara is going to tell me that you need Bliya. One example might be if he does a what's called Sicha, Sach, Shuman, Chatas, Al Basa Shlomit. So let's say he has the fats of the Chatas that come in contact with the Basa Shlomim, that's called Vinivlabo, there's going to be a Bliya. That's Achiyivla Bibsara. But if there was no Bliya, then it doesn't have the same status. And our sugya here has to do with what's called Heta Mitztarif Lisa B'Kodshim. In other words, are we talking about tam ki ikar? Not necessarily so. If we're talking about sach, the way Rashi says sach, shemen, mishuman, or shemen of chatas with shlomim, that's not only tam, that's really mamish. So we're not dealing with tam ki ikar, we're dealing with hetem itzarif le'isar. That's mamish tam. That's the way Rashi seems to learn it. Anyway, the Brisa continues and says, Yochel, I might think that even if Naga b'miktsas chaticha yekulo pasul, that even though there's only the gi at one point, that's called miktsas chaticha, and there's no bliya, the whole thing would become pasul. Tamid lomer, the pasuk says here again, vayikra vav pasuk chav kol asher yiga bibsara yikdash, and the Torah emphasized the word yiga hanogea pasul, only the basar that came in contact is possible. The basar that doesn't come in contact is not possible. The Brisa clarifies this. Haketzad, what does he do in the case where there's only negia without blia, and only that point is possible? Chotech es makom shebola. He just has to cut off the place of contact, and the rest of the basar should be eaten like it's did. Now the Brisa continues in its drasha. It says kol asher yiga bibsara, which means only the part that's no ge'er b'basar chatos, that becomes like the chatos. V'lo begidin, v'lo ba'atzamos, v'lo bekarnayim, v'lo betlofin. Meaning that this din of negia doesn't always apply. It only applies in the case of basar, the meat. And this excludes gidin, which means certain kinds of sinews, atzamos, which are bones, karnayim, which are the horns, and tlofim, which is the hooves. And what's common to these parts of the animal is that they're not edible, they're not roi l'achila, and they're not considered basar. So for example, there's a mitzvah say of achilas kodshim. That doesn't apply to these parts, because of achilas kodshim only applies to basar, and these are not roi l'achila. And now we're saying that in the event that the carbon itself becomes pasul, then the ether of eating psula mikdashim doesn't apply to these parts of the animal, because they're not roi lachilo. I said that gidin means sinews. Some say that it refers to tendons, ligaments, nerves, blood vessels, any part of the anatomy of the body that is long and string-like. Now, again, what we said before is that we need blia, that some part of the carbon chatos became absorbed into the basar that it touches. And when we say that chatos is being absorbed into other meat, let's say, for example, you have fats, which are shuman are permissible, that are chelev, from the chatos, and they were melted or smeared on a piece of shlomim meat. The shlomim was then roasted, and that causes the chatos fat that was smeared on the outside of the shlomim meat to become absorbed into the shlomim, and therefore the shlomim actually now the tam is penetrates into the tam of chatas penetrates into the shlomim, and now the shlomim meat takes on the kedusha of the chatas because there was a blia. Okay, and then that's going to be, as we said before, the principle of hetem itztarif le'isur, which means basically that if someone eats a kezias of basar, which had a penetration of let's say shuman of chatas, then it's considered as if he ate a kezias of chatas. Again, even though he's eating shlomim, he's not eating chatos, but nevertheless it's considered as if he's eating chatos and a kezayis worth of chatos. That's called hetem itztarif le'isur. Now, if we assume tam kikar lav doraisa, then on a doraisa level, we're talking about a drush and a pasuk. We're not saying that the shlomim, because it was boleh, the tam of the chatos became asur, but rather we're talking about an actual mamoshes, like the case of Shuman, and therefore we apply the principle of heter mitztarif le'isa. That's the way Rashi learns this sugya. Now the pasuk says yikdash, meaning that the basa that came in contact with the chatas lios kemosa haketzad im psulahi, if the chatas that touched the other kachim or chulim was posel, which means it was pigel, it was nosar, it's tiposel, the chaticha that also was bolea, if there was blia, becomes likewise pigel and nosar. And it has the same status as pigel and nosar. Ksherahi, if the chatas is kshera, then that chaticha that was bolea chatas is teochel kechomer shabbat. Now it takes on the dinim of chatas. So it means that the chaticha that touched the chatos now basically has two different tamim in it. It has its own personal tam, indigent, and then it has the tam that it received from the other basar. So what we're going to do is we're going to give the din of the chomer shebishneim. In other words, if basar shlomim was boleh from chatos, then it has to be eaten within the azara, within the time period of Yom V'Laila, and only to Zichrei Kohuna. The Gemara now asks Akash on the din in the Mishnah of Impsula Hiti Pasel. Amai, why does the Basa Shlomim become Pasel when it came in contact with the Chatas, which was Psula V'Nesi Esse V'Lidche Eslo Sase? We have a universal principle of Esse Dochalo Sase, which is derived from Kalayim B'Tzitzis. And if the essay has the power to override a los aseh, then we have a mitzvah aseh of achilas kodshim, which is derived from the pasuk in Shmos. It says, "V'yochlo sam asher kupar bahem." That essay should be docha the los aseh of achilas kodshim psul, which is derived from the pasuk lo yochel ki kodshim. So, on the one hand, we understand that the shlomim became pasul. That's what we understand from the Mishnah by virtue of the negia. It's contact with the chatas, which was psula, but on the other hand, there is a mitzvah seh of achilas kodshim. And the Gemara answers, "Omar Rava, ein asei dochas lo seh sheba migdash." We don't apply the principle of esei docha lo seh in karbonos, in migdash. Important to point out that this kash of the Gemara of esei docha lo seh only applies to a part of the brisa. The brisa says, "Im ksherehi teochel kechomer sheba." Meaning that he's allowed to eat the basar that was left over even after the Zman Chatos in the Gemara's Kasha. Why? Because Esei Dochalos Aseh. In other words, there's no Isar Vachilis Nosar in this case, because the essay of the Shlomim, let's say of the Kalim, still applies even after the Negiyah. And that essay should override any possible Isur Nosar with regard to the Kodshei Kodshim that it came in contact with. And the question that we have to ask here is, we have a principle that an essay is not Docha Losa Sheish Bo Koretz. But let's go back to the Brice that says in Psula Hiti Pasel, meaning that the Pasel Shlom that came in contact with the Chatas becomes Psula because of the chatas. So nishchita b'layla, or for example lina, the lina's dam, which would pasel the karbon, and in the case of achilas kodshim psulim, there's no isa karet. So the Gemara wants to know, why not be mata the achila mitzad the din of esei dochalosa when there's no nosar? Because again, nosar would be a problem of a lav sheish bo karet, so we would not apply the principle of esei dochalosa. Now Tosfos, Divrei Maschil Nasi, which is the top Tosfos on the Daf, raises the following point. He says, the Pasuk says Yikdash, to tell us that it has the Din Kamo, and it's Gzeres HaKosuv, that Esei should not be Dochalosa. Why does Gemara apply the principle of Esei Dochalosa when we have a Pasuk that says Yikdash? So Tosfos says that we would interpret the pasuk that's coming for Isur in a case where you're mavashal kodshim in chulin and there's no essay of achilas chulin, and therefore the chulin become awesome. But in the case that he's mavashal kodshim where there's a mitzvah of v'yachlu osam, then we would apply the principle of essay dochalos, so we would not apply the din of yikdash. And furthermore, he says that the kasha of the Gemara is that if you're going to tell me there's a gzeres hakasuv, that essay is not dochalosas, in this case we should derive from here and call it tarkula, this should become a binyanav, then any essay dochalosas. Now, the assumption of the Gemara that there's a mitzvah saseh of eating achilas bolua, well, after the heter, it becomes isur, there's no basar kodesh, there's nothing that's kosher, there should be no mitzvah achila, there's no essay of achilas kodeshim, that should be docha the lav of achilas kodeshim psulim. So the Nesivas HaKodesh says the following, that as far as the din of heter mitztarif l'isur, we don't apply that din to the extent in which we say that a hetem is hapech lios isur, but rather it remains in its status as heter. And the Torah was mechadesh, that's mitztarif l'isur, even though it's heter. And therefore the Gemara is asking, esse dochalosase. Again, this has phenomenal repercussions in other dinim. The Turiyev and the Shagasaryeh says that from this sugya of esse dochalosa, we can prove that essay dochalos applies even if there's no akiris halav and akium and essay in the same thing, because the essay is mimakayim in achilus heta, the lav is in the achilus tam posel. And yet, even though there are two things, the Gemara still says essay dochalos aseh. Now, there's a mitzvah say to be sorev kodshim shenifsalu, even if it was balua. And therefore, we could ask, why not apply the principle of ein esse docha losa sevi esse? Because in this case, there's not only a losa se with regard to achilas psulim, but there's also a bittul esse. And we have a principle called ein esse docha losa sevi esse. And he quotes the posuk, he quotes here the Chazon Ish that says the posuk of mitzvah sreifa only applies when the psulim are the end, but not when the psulim are beluim, then there's no mitzvah sreifa. Omar Rava, ein esse docha es losa seshev migdash. Then in Karbonos we don't apply the principle of esse docha losa seshev. The Marik is quoted as saying that the reason for this is because a losa seshev in the migdash is chomor, more chomor than other isurim, and therefore it's not nidche mifnei esse. The Turiyevin points out that to the same extent that the losa of Migdash is chomor, the essay of Migdash is chomor, and therefore the mitzvah of saseh of achilas kodshim should be more chomor. Why isn't there a parallel relationship here? Why shouldn't the essay of Migdash be docha losa seshev b'migdash? And therefore he interprets that this is simply a gzeiras hakasuv that ain essay b'migdash docha losa seshev nemar. In the context of Korban Pesach, the Torah says be etzem lo sishbu bo. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that this Isur of Shviras Etzem in the case of Korban Pesach was said Echad Etzem Sheyesh Bo Moach V'Echad Etzem She'ein Bo Moach. It doesn't matter whether this Etzem that he's breaking has meat inside of it or doesn't have what we call marrow inside of it. Is Amai, why do you tell me that there's an Isur Shviras Etzem of Korban Pesach when there's basar inside of it? Let the essay of achilas korban pesach, if I have no way of getting access to the marrow and be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas basar pesach, unless I break the bone, then I should be allowed to break the bone under the din of essay dochalosa se'ela. We have no choice but to say that ein asay dochalosa seshev b'migdash, and that's what the pasuk is telling me. Etzem lo sishbru bo. It's very strange because essay dochalosas only applies to idna when the essay and the losas are being implemented simultaneously. Here, the lav of shvius etzem takes first, and the kiyum of essay later on b'achilas habasar. And if there's no simultaneity between the kiyum essay and the losas, the violation of the essay, there's no asay dochalosas. So there's a teretz here in the name of the Piskei HaTosfos that if it's impossible to mekayim the essay and without first violating the lav, even though it's bezecher zeh, we're going to say essay docha los aseh. Tosfos wants to know what's the proof from the Isur Shviras Etzem that ain essay docha los aseh with migdash. Shviras Etzem is prohibited because he can eat the moach beheter. How? he can leave a gacheles, sheniach gacheles sheyisrof es ha'etzem, and if he's sorry if the atzovus of the pesach, he doesn't violate shviras etzem. So he'll be able to accomplish both at the same time. He can fulfill the mitzvah of achilas moach, but without violating the issur of shviras etzem. He can use another method of getting the meat and the marrow that's within the bone eaten. And Tosus answers that this is Rav Lishitasim Psachim. Rava says that you're not allowed to put on the gecholim anything that might burn, because you're going to be mamayit the moach. In other words, it's going to, as a result of the burning process, it's going to be mamayit. It's going to minimize the amount of the moach that you're able to eat, and that's called maybe kodshim lidei psul lidei hefsed. He's being mafsid kodshim. Ravashi gives another answer to the alternative answer to the Gemara's kasha. Why don't we apply esei dochalosas in the case of the basa that was bolea carbon pasul from a carbon pasul? Ravashi Omar, why don't we apply the principle of esei dochalosas to be matter the achilas basa kodesh that was bolea from the carbon pasul? It's based on the pasul, says Ravashi in Vayikra Vav. It says kol asher yigabim, sorry, yigdash. Yigdash is a mitzvah asei, that the basar that touches the basar chatos psula becomes kemosa. The ein asay, the essay of achilas kodshim dochas losus of the essay. So in the case of basar shenoga the basar kodesh and nifsa, we have not only the losus of achilas kodshim shepasul, but we also have an additional essay of yigdash. Besides the lav at the end of Shmos of lo yeochel ki kodeshu, we also have an essay of yigdash, an ein essay docholosa sevi essay. This principle is very relevant to the case of let's say an aveda to beis hakvaros, and the question is whether the kohen is allowed to go in, or a nazir is allowed to go into the beis hakvaros for the sake of the mitzvah hashiv teshivim, in order to return this aveda. And here the losa says also, the losa says v'metame himself is also strengthened by the essay. And the Torah says in, with regard to a nazir, that he has to be shomer his tara, and that's a kiyum essay, his ein essay docha losa v'essay. Or for example, if you want to be mekayim a mitzvah on yontif that would require overriding yontif, you would not say essay docha losa, because yontif is both an essay and a losa. So this is a universal principle that ain't essay dochalosa v'essay. Now, how is Rav Ashi going to answer the raya of Rava from Shviras Etzem v'Pesach? And there we could prove that ain't essay dochalosa shebemigdash. And yet Rav Ashi is assuming that essay dochalosa shebemigdash. What about the Isur Shviras Etzem, which Lechori should violate for the sake of the marrow that's within the etzem? So the Tori Eben says that even Rav Ashi agrees that ein essay dochalos sesha b'migdash, and the derivation from shviras etzem b'pesach is valid. But as far as basa shebola mi basa chatos is concerned, Rav Ashi holds that you don't need the answer of essay shebemigdash, but all you have to do is activate the principle of yigdash of an essay, where essay is not dochalos sen an essay. Other Achronim, the Node of Yehuda, they assume that Rav Ashi rejects Rova, and he holds that Esei is Dochalos Eshev Migdash. The only problem is when the Losa says is strengthened by a concomitant accompanying Esei. As far as Shviras Etzem is concerned, there's no Esei Dochalos Eshev, because it's Shalo Be'idna, because the Kiyum Esei of Achilas Abasa takes place after the Averis Halav. We'll stop here because the hour is getting late, and let's just make a note of where we want to pick it up tomorrow, and that is Ashkechon Chatos Demiskadesh Bibolua. So we're basically halfway down the Amud. Let's make a note of it. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll finish up Ksari Zayin on days later on today or tomorrow.